in a world.
What up, though?
What's up, man?
You, bro. We back at it.
We back.
How you feeling today?
I'm feeling great, man. Just got some bagels for the fam for breakfast sammies.
Yeah, I love you. You are three hots in a cot, dude. That might be the military still in you.
I might be seven hots in a cot.
You're like, I'll meet you for breakfast. I'd be like, okay.
I love me some snacks. I would eat snacks all day long if I could.
But you are three hots in a cot, bro.
For sure, oh, for okay. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm doing good. I just had a little... I'm trying to cut back on the caffeine. So one cup.
Mm.
One cup, maybe with a double shot in it. So maybe I'm just tricking myself. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Is that a latte or just a straight up espresso or what? What you got?
Espresso. You know, we got one of those espresso mm-hmm. machines.
Yep.
So I just put a little bit of non-dairy creamer in there just to mm-hmm. lighten it up a bit. And it throw a little cinnamon on top. It's nice, man.
Yeah, the wife has this creamer that's really good. It's like no sugar, but it's like French vanilla.
Yeah.
It's got a horrible name, though. Nut pods. I'm like, why do you have to call it that? But it tastes really good.
Where are you going? You trying to send me down a rabbit hole?
Nut pods
taste really good.
You gonna bite?
I'm like, bro, you can't just be throwing stuff out like that, man.
Nut pods.
It tastes really good. We should send them that marketing piece. All right. Nut pods. We taste really good.
The name you don't love, but the taste you will enjoy.
You'll smoke a cigarette after.
Maybe a cold shower.
I know, right? Can you make me a sandwich? See what you do, bro? You're derailing.
That's the best kind, though.
I know. That is. I did want to talk to you about a topic today.
Let's go.
And we've dealt with it for years,
mm-hmm.
but performance reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Let's grapple with this thing.
Okay.
Because I spent so many years going through them. And now I'm just like, it's almost the same way we talked about email, right?
Right.
Like, it not if it's dying, but is it the same as it used to be?
That's a great question. The thing with my standpoint on it is, I mean, and there's, you know, obviously there's two views you're coming from, right? Is it's, are you getting the performance value or are you giving? And those are two completely different scenarios. And it really depends on the dynamic completely, right? Because you might use it. I think a lot of people, if you're giving, right? So let's come from the top down. You're the manager and you're giving a performance evaluation. My scenario is, if any of the information that you're giving your employee is a surprise to them,
it's a horrible.
You failed as a boss.
You failed.
You should not be waiting until the performance value. You say, you know, actually, you need to improve on these things. Those should not be surprises. And I think that happens quite a bit.
That's bonkers. Yeah, it happens a lot. And you were saying, I think that they're different. And I think that they're the same. Because if you know what a good performance evaluation looks like as a receiver,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you know what a good performance looks like, a good performance review looks like as a provider.
Correct.
Right? So I think you've got a section of people who have never received a good performance review.
Mm.
Or
vice versa.
Or vice versa. And so now you become a leader somehow. I don't know. I don't know how you never receive a good performance review, but then become a leader to now deliver a shitty performance review.
Yep.
Right. But I, you know, it's funny. And I'll just say this off rip, because I think historically, I think things have always changed. mm-hmm. right? Like, you remember what health insurance used to look like.
Right.
It was like, hey, you're sick. You've got insurance. We're going to pay for it. Yeah. Now it's like, hey, if you want us to pay for that, you got to be $3,000 more sicker. And right. then we'll cover that. Right. Yeah. So I'm kind of using that as an analogy.
That's a good one.
Performance reviews used to be like, hey, you know what, Alexei, I want you to get better.
Right.
Right. Here's what I want from you. Now, I almost feel like it's a company's way of being like, this is my opportunity to keep some money from you.
Exactly.
Am yep. I tripping?
No, not at all. Too many times. I mean, we've had this scenario where, you know, as a manager, you're now given a number of a range that you can give out, right? Like what we've heard as managers is it's like a group or, you know, a department will come to the round table and they'll have to fight for, let's just say you're giving out 1 to 5s, right? Hypothetically. And 10 managers come to the table and there might only be, you know, maybe you've got 50 people amongst those 10 managers. There might only be 25s. You might only be allowed to have 25. So now those managers yes. are scrapping. They're like, I got the best 5s and I got the best mm-hmm. 5. No. Mm-hmm. These my people. And you have to like defend your team and defend yourself and you have to scrap for those top notches. So what ends up happening is inevitably some manager who might have the baddest ass wrecking crew ever, all masters of disaster, and you're going to have to give somebody a shitty review because you didn't have enough 5s to give out.
Right. You've been force rank
yeah.
an all-star crew.
Yeah.
And that was one of the toughest things I think I had to deal with when I first became a manager.
Yeah.
It's because you're like, yeah, you know, I got a top 5, but in my mind, my bottom person, they're making a come up.
Right.
And this is an opportunity to say, okay, great, you know, great year. We've got some stuff to work on. You started mm-hmm. to make the turn. And, you know, let's go off and have a great year. But instead, I gotta hit you below the knees.
Right. And you're right. It's all from that money thing because it's like, they're like, well, if we can only give out so much percentage increases.
Because we didn't hit our number.
Right.
And it's like, this gets into so many different things.
Yep.
But it's like, okay, these large organizations set these massive goals.
Mm-hmm.
Massive. And most common folk would not believe the amount of corporate greed that is at the top.
Yeah.
You couldn't stomach it.
Mm-mm.
Right? You like people who work for organizations who got the watch, who, you know, they bleed the company colors.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea like how at the top, the board of directors, especially if you're publicly traded.
Yep.
Oh my God. You're like a, you know, you're like a NATO country. You'll kill to hit yeah. that stock number.
Anything to keep the shareholders happy.
That's it. And yeah, we might be into technology. We might be into healthcare. But at the end of the day, if we don't make that dollar, then you, Joe Blow, are going to feel it.
Yep.
And I've just seen so many people throughout the years. And that's why I had this job right out of college, and I was doing a little bit of automotive sales.
Mm-hmm.
Not automotive, but like, you know,
yeah. Parts and stuff.
Parts, yeah. Yeah, not like used car salesman.
You were in the automotive industry.
There you go. And I had this older woman, and she was an admin, kind of a boss, nice older black woman, kind of showed me the ropes.
Yeah.
And I can remember she was waiting on a Christmas bonus.
Mm.
And that Christmas bonus was like, she was waiting on that bonus to take care of her family for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So she, in her mind, she was like, oh, I'm doing this for my daughter, this for my grandson. Man,
counting on it.
They delivered that check. I had never seen public disappointment like that in the workplace in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I was like, I will never count on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's like Chevy Chase, right? Getting the Christmas ham instead. Yeah.
It's the same. Now, if Chevy Chase was a black man, he would still be in prison.
He would still be in prison.
He would still be in jail. They was like, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's fine. But I'm just making that point to say, if it's not your commission, right? If you're not in sales,
don't count on it.
Because so many people, and then I feel like what it does is it creates. Here comes another analogy. Like, the school system is a little jacked across the board, like, especially in where I live at in Florida. But we're not teaching kids to teach them. We're teaching them for the test.
Correct.
Right? And so everything is designed for the test.
Yep.
And
that's
so,
not how the real world is, though.
That's not how the real world is. And so what happens is you get people who now try and do work for the performance evaluation.
Yep.
And you're supposed to be using your left brain, your right brain. You're supposed to be putting yourself into the job. But it's like, you know, does that have to do with this?
Right.
And when you're in a situation where you're not working freely and you're not in a place where, like, I'm going to go off and use my best judgment. I'm going to think, I'm going to converse with people and try and get the best outcome versus like, I'm just not trying to get dinged.
Right.
You're suppressing your workforce.
Completely.
Any thoughts around that?
No, I completely agree with that. I mean, I think this is where we're headed, but the scenario is, if we schools, obviously we're two dudes. We're not going to be able to change the world.
Just two guys. But I think we are changing the world. So, carry on.
So, I mean, changes need to occur across the board, right? Schools need to go back to, first off, you know, whoever the asshats had decided we didn't need to have, you know, music programs and, we don't need shop and, we don't need like home ec, you know, that's not important to educate. Well, they're idiots.
Well, we're going to go now. Well, you're sending me here because.
In the next episode.
No, but that, I mean, let me just tell you something. In the state of Florida, if you had a certification in HVAC,
you can print money.
You can't get these people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm from the generation where it was like, I'm going to school. I got to go to school. I got to do this. But I'm like, man, if you had an HVAC certification and a van, and you're certified to go around and fix the air, because you can't live here without air, bro.
You will die.
Bro, as soon as I can tell if either the nest has gone into eco or something's really wrong.
Right.
Like my body, I can just be like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. This is broken.
Something not right. Better get that AC brother out of here.
And they come out, they're like, their phone is beeping the entire time. But as I digress, that they don't want people working for themselves.
Mm-mm. No.
So if I know how to use like some of the best people in the world, me being a brother and with a head full of hair.
Yep.
The barbershop is part of my life.
Yes, sir.
Barbers have little to no overhead, and they're just making cash money. Yeah. Hey, come on in. What do you want? Tighten up on the sides. Okay. A little beard action. What you doing? Frohawk. What's that? Okay. Bang. $60.
Yep.
Whammo.
Boom, boom.
So you're right. So not to mean to steal your thought, but
oh, it's all good.
They took away the shop and all of that stuff to get you to get your butt in a cube somewhere.
That's right.
And it's, I mean, it's literally not for everybody, but that's for another conversation. But
I completely agree.
Go ahead. You were saying, you know, they screwed that up by
taking
that away.
And so exactly what you're saying, it all became about, you know, pure academics. It all became about, you know, curriculum, learn the curriculum, regurgitate the curriculum into homework, study your homework, and then take a final or a midterm or whatever. And that's just like, and that was it, right? The creativity, the ability to kind of market yourself, the ability mm-hmm. to glue those things together with, you know, with the exception of classes like maybe like physics and chemistry and stuff where you get mm-hmm. to have like labs. It just became about, here's what's on the board, put it in your head and spit it out on test day. And
right.
And that doesn't, and that's, you're right. It's like almost the exact same thing for sitting in a cube, right? Is it's like, I sit, I look, I stare at my screen. I go to a meeting. I make my presentations and my spreadsheets, and now I spit it out at the end of the year and I get my performance evaluation and maybe I get a raise or maybe I don't.
And you go into it with trepidation.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. For you're sure. Like, oh, cause you know, and I'm like, who wants to work for somebody that think is going to ding them for their money at the end of the year?
Correct.
That sucks.
Yeah.
And even for people who do that,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like at the end of the year, you get raked over the coals and that person doesn't know it. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Super ashamed.
You should be ashamed of yourself because that person is there to help the performance of your team.
Right.
So how do you think by ambushing them with negative information, what is showing is people who are passive aggressive.
For sure.
You know, because if there's an issue, I'm going to tell you, hey, bro, let's work on that.
Yeah.
You know, you've missed a couple of meetings. Let's get on top of that. So then in the performance evaluation, I can talk about, hey, we had a couple of hiccups there. You got on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep that going. Job well done. That's coaching.
Right. And we talked about that before, right? In difficult conversation. I don't remember what we called it, but in that's that passive aggressiveness, right? Is it's like how many managers are afraid to tell their people?
67%.
Right? Like, hey, can we adjust this? Or that was great, but like they'll just wait and then they'll take the big ass hammer at the end of the year, like, you suck. And it's like, whoa, bro, what the hell is
that's,
that?
That's for all my listeners out there, that's not how you lead.
Mm-mm.
When you see stuff, you know, A, you should be having consistent communication with your people.
Yep.
During those times, you bring that up, right? So then it doesn't fester because it's not, look, I could see if you're running like, you know, Alexei's tool and die. And there's 10 people and you want to be a miser and you don't want to pay people their bonus.
Right.
But, you know, if the company has a sort of a bonus pool
right.
that you can pull from, why wouldn't you want to give your people the money?
All as much as you can.
What? I just don't understand it.
Right.
You know, so it's like I've had some good ones and I've had some bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never had a bad performance review, but I think over my time, I've had some people who have delivered them poorly.
Sure.
Right? Right? And from your perspective, what's the difference between a good one and a not so good one?
The difference is, you know, it's all about the tone, right? And you know, after this, I want to touch on the opposite side on how you can kind of future-proof or you know, put a bulletproof vest on if you're the person that's getting reviewed. But
right.
as far as the difference between a good and a bad one, it's all about the tone, right? It's like, first of all, if you're worth your salt as the subordinate, right, as the employee, not the manager, mm-hmm. then you're tracking all of this stuff and you know what you accomplished and you're writing your own review and submitting it saying,
absolutely,
this is what I deserve. And so the bad reviews come when there's a difference of opinion, when you're being truthful and you're like, hey, you know, I didn't knock it out of the park, but here's my wins.
Right.
And your manager's like, those weren't wins. Those were just doing your job. It's like, whoa, we got a difference of opinion here. Mm-hmm. Only I'm coming from fact and you're coming from, I don't know where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. That's a bad review. The good review is it's like when you're both on the same page, right? It's like, hey, I kicked ass, or, you know, again, to me, it's all about, we talked about having this accountability and using that as a diffuser for bad bosses, right? We talked about that too. Like, I am awesome, but I need to work on these areas. And I acknowledge that. And your boss is like, hey, yeah, you really kicked ass. And hey, let's help you get these things taken care of. And let's put in some development plans for next year.
That's it.
That's the difference between a good and a bad review.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, there are a lot of people who are just extremely fearful of the review process, right? Just because by nature, people don't want to hear what's wrong with them, right?
Right.
By nature. It's just this. It's the same reason when, you know, people get white coat syndrome. You're going to the doctor. Are you going to tell me I'm dying? You know, no. You know, your cholesterol is a little higher. You know what I'm saying? Like you've got a respiratory infection. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. And I might venture to say that those same people are the same people.
That's hilarious.
Those people are the same people that are afraid of interviewing, right?
Oh, the same. They're all mixed in.
Yeah.
They're all mixed in. But I just want to finish this point that those people who are deathly afraid, those are the people who need to be on the offensive, if you will.
Correct.
To your point, so you've got all of these things that we've said, okay, you know, this is making me think about a bunch of things, but you also shouldn't have 16 freaking goals.
No.
Right?
No.
This should be.
You will never have get more, a good review.
You'll be like four, max five. You know what I'm saying? And then, that's it. Not all, we're going to do this and that. I've seen people, I've inherited people that have had, and I'm like, these are your goals?
Yeah.
Like, you're not, like, you're set up for failure here.
Correct.
And so, it's 2 points. You really got my brain churning here because I'm like going in 50 different directions. But be on the offensive.
Yes.
So, have a meeting with your manager.
Yes.
When one of those one-on-ones that you have and you like out of those goals, you just say, hey, just FYI, here's how I'm tracking.
Right.
Because they might not know. And what you don't know sometimes is sometimes people, not sometimes, but people have biases.
Oh,
so all you the can time. Have a you can have a person that's getting you could be working for somebody who's getting their impression of you from someone else.
Yeah. All the time.
Well, I don't like Chris. You know, it's like, what? You get your impression from me. So be on the offensive. Mm-hmm. If you've got these five bullets and you're worried about somebody dinging you each quarter, you send a note and just say, yo, just want to update you how we're progressing.
Right.
This is going well. We've got some opportunities here. And then you document them.
Yeah.
And then you can bring that into your performance review. Mm-hmm. To have a discussion about what you did or what you didn't and not really be there at the, you know, the behest of your leader. And it's just like, oh, how bad did I do? And, you know, just because someone is managing you doesn't mean that they have all the correct information.
Mm-mm.
And there are a lot of leaders who think that they're, you know, some type of deity because they manage you.
You're not. It's the other way around. You should be a servant to your people.
You should be asking them, what do you need? What can I do better for you? How can I help you? Versus being like, well, it's that time of the year and I'm gonna rip you a new a-hole.
Yeah.
You love my corporate voice.
I do.
Alexei, have a seat. We've got some stuff to talk, you know, and I'll let you chime in. I've been running off at the mouth. But don't make it a torture zone.
No.
Like, some people enjoy making you feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Like, don't, like, be like, hey, let's have a great, FYI, just take it down a notch. Let's have a great conversation, and let's talk about how we can win for next year. Those are the types of things people want to hear.
I couldn't agree more.
Because how many times have you seen Goodfellas? This is...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you remember when Joe Pesci thought he was going to get made and he walked into that mm-hmm. empty room and yeah. he didn't see anybody? That's what 90% of people feel like they're going into when they go into a meeting.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, like, am I going to jump on this Zoom and it's going to be HR on here as well?
Am I going to have to hand in my badge? What's going on here? What am I walking into?
Back in the day, we used to be like, bring your badge and your key fob.
Yeah. And you're like, no,
this is it. So, yeah. Anyway.
So my thing is what, and this is regardless of whether you're the boss or the employee, there is a way to armor yourself to succeed. I'm not saying it's guaranteeing success, but it's a way that you can combat the vagueness and stop living in the, I hope I'm going to get a good review, or I hope my employees are going to do great. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It all starts at that beginning of the year. It all starts with the goals, right?
Okay.
The goals, because unless you got an asshat or you're moving around or some crazy stuff is going on, the goals shouldn't change. You shouldn't be moving the goalpost, right? So,
but some managers do, and I don't understand why you do that.
Yeah, I don't get that. Managers just don't do that.
Yeah, I just think you don't like yourself.
No, exactly.
You know, go ahead.
So, in the beginning, set these, you know, we call the SMART goals, right? They're you can, you know, they're not pie in the sky. They're not like, I'm going to do great. It's they're actionable. They're
you can measure gauge them.
How well to a percentage, like I completed this X percent on time.
Mm-hmm.
And have some growth in there too. Have a couple of things that are like, hey, I want to work on this, or I want you to improve in this area, because let's show the people that we're investing in the future, or let's show our managers that we want to improve. So
mm-hmm.
now throughout the year, and this takes some work, make note of how you did on those things, right?
Yes.
Check in with your boss and you say, hey buddy, I got this and this and this done, looking great. So one, it's a little bit of CYA, and two, mm-hmm. it's a little bit of, you know, connecting those dots and keeping that relationship open so that you don't have to worry about these uncomfortable conversations at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So it's like, I got this done on time. I think it was awesome. I think you did. I think you got it done too. However, maybe it wasn't as awesome as you think. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's great. Now, when you have all of that and it comes to review time, managers, let your people write their own reviews. People, write your own review, even if you don't have that manager that wants you to do that. And mm-hmm. what you're doing there is you might have, just like you were saying, Chris, you might have a manager that takes their feedback from other people. They don't even know what their people are doing.
They don't even know what you're doing.
Right.
There's some. How many times have people... Has your manager or leader come to you and be like, hey, what's going on with that?
Right. Wrong question.
What are you doing there? And it's like, that's your job. You know, I'm not saying you're supposed to be, you know, your elbows up in manure in it, but at least have an idea. And if you don't have an idea, then don't judge it.
Right.
Without the information.
So there should be no surprises because you had these checkpoints throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a sidebar, one-on-ones are not the chance for you as managers to say, what have you accomplished this week? That's not what one-on-ones are for. So if you're doing that, you're a bad manager.
What's a one-on-one for?
A one-on-one is for you to ask your people, hey, what do you need from me? Can I help? What's going on? Where do you need my assistance?
How are you? Are you about to buy a boat or slit your wrist?
Right. Don't Maybe you either. Shouldn't do either of those.
Don't do either of those. Just chill out. Okay.
That's what one-on-ones are for.
That's what one-on-ones are for.
Not micromanaging.
Yeah. you said something and it triggered a thought. And as a rule, you don't always get a chance to pick your team.
No.
Right. And sometimes you go into teams and you're like, listen, every managerial job I've ever, well, one, every job you ever go for, someone else is going for.
Oh, yeah.
Don't trip. This has not been an ordained path by your Lord and Savior for you to get that.
Well, it's kind of the law in the United States, too.
Well, exactly. Other people, even if they say it's your job, other
they
people
still
gotta
let
interview.
Other people apply.
Yeah. And then you might be like, whoa.
Wow. I didn't know Jimmy was going to apply. Holy moly.
He came out of left field with that. You know, so you in a lot of cases, you get tough competition.
Yes.
Right. So you don't always get a chance to inherit the perfect team.
And
what I was saying is most of the times when I've taken over a team, there's somebody on that team that wanted that job.
Almost always.
they wanted that job and they're like, I got more value to add. I'm smarter than this person.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always coming in with somebody who is pissed at you just for your existence.
Just because you're there.
Just because you're there. So, but as a new manager, that's the stuff you got to know. You got to lean in with mm-hmm. that person. You got to be like, look, hey, I know you wanted this. I'm here. Let's lock arms. I'm going to look to you to help me lead. You know, you got to play into that.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying all of that to say you're not going to have everybody on your team that you would have over for, you know,
Christmas dinner.
You know, fish and chips and fish beer.
Everybody doesn't need to love you.
They're not.
No.
But as a leader, you have to try and foster an environment
yep.
where these people feel good, whether they feel like that about you or not.
Yep.
You have to foster that. So what I mean is either you look at people and you're like, okay, Doug on my team, he's kind of an ass, but Doug produce.
Right. I
so
can work with that all day long.
Let Doug do what Doug do.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And so you're like, okay, can I keep everybody on my team? And if you can't say yes to that, then you have to get those folks off the bus.
Correct.
Okay. Look, so I'm just saying, like, if there's somebody on your team, don't be passive aggressive. And they're like, you know, causing trouble, not hitting their number, not doing what they're supposed to do. Get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
Okay. Get rid of them. Get somebody else back on the team. So then you can have a team that you can say, my job is to create a bubble around these people.
And I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. I'm getting to my point, right? Is you create this bubble around your team with Doug included. Doug's an ass.
Yeah.
And Doug might be a boomer. You know what I'm saying?
Doug
might be a boomer. He might not, you know, be great on his laptop, but he's doing his deal.
Yep.
It's your job to protect them.
Always.
And so it's your job to create this environment, even if so I'm managing a team of five and then I report to some woman, right?
Yep. Yep.
Now this woman is a tyrant.
Oof.
Okay, this woman's a tyrant. She mean. She don't know what the hell she talking about.
Mm-mm.
She don't know what we do. And because she got hit over the head, she hits me over the head.
Yeah, and she knows we're costing her a lot of money.
Right? So if she hits me over the head, that doesn't mean I have to hit you over the head.
Not at all.
So as a leader, you have to take the brunt. You can say, hey, FYI, I got host. Okay,
yep.
So it's okay to let people know what the environment is like.
Hey, without accountability.
Because that's like sports, right?
Yep.
Linebacker coach might get his ass chewed out by the head coach, and he can come back to the team and be like, hey, listen, we just played Georgia. I felt like you guys did a great job. Coach did not. All right, so let's leave that behind us, and let's focus on technique and move forward. What that does is it lets everybody know, like, okay.
You're in it with them.
I'm in it with you.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean because my bonus got chopped that I have to chop yours.
Mm-mm.
That's the point. And a lot of managers screw that up.
A lot.
And it's like, well, you know, I got holes for that. That doesn't mean I have to.
You don't need to share that.
We worked our asses off.
Yeah. Share the wealth. Don't share the pain.
Don't share. Oh, man. Wow. That's the book title right there. Share the wealth. Don't share the pain. I love it. Foreword by Macho Man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just share the wealth, baby, not the pain.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you do all of that and you've had these communications and, you know, whether that communication's going uphill or downhill, and at the end of the year, there's no surprises, you've marketed yourself as an employee, you've done your job as a manager to say, hey, these are where I've identified your weaknesses and your strengths. Mm-hmm. Here's our plan together. Reviews will be so much glossier because there's no hiccups. There's no surprises. Yeah. You're at least, you know, like, man, I was kind of a fuck up this year because my boss really kind of told me I'm probably not going to get a good review. That's okay because I know we're working together.
Yes.
Or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said, man. And, you know, I guess my points or closing thoughts are, you know, as a leader, you have to take care of your people. If you don't have the right team, it's your job to get the right team.
Correct.
Right. And if there are things that you are seeing that are slipping, you need to have those conversations often. Mm-hmm. So it's not a shock at the end of the year when, like I said, that sister that I worked with was expecting that boat. See, a lot of people, that's their only bonus a year.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you something. A previous company that I worked for, your score meant everything.
Everything.
So that score, if you didn't get a certain score, that would stop you from getting a promotion.
Yep.
So if you got less than what you were supposed to get, I mean, there are people who, like I said, were like ready to slit their wrist over that score. Now, so I want to be clear. It's, you know, how you review your people is completely different from how your organization cuts up the pie to give. Those are two totally separate things, right? Because I can come to you and say, hey, man, you had a great year. I thought it was great. But listen, as an organization, we fell below. As a franchise, we didn't do what we were supposed to do. So we, you know, they're only giving us this amount of money to give you.
Yeah.
Right. That's it. But I think what a lot of people do is they think that if the organization didn't do good, then everybody has to get a bad freaking review.
No.
And you I just said the same thing. Right. Hey, you did great. But listen, we didn't. You know what I'm saying? We did not sell enough knee braces. We didn't.
Right.
Right. We said we were going to sell 180,000. We sold 150.
Yeah. So we made plan. Not everybody else did. But we're all in this boat together.
And then you know what everybody says? Okay, I appreciate that. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
How can you not appreciate honesty?
But not like, oh, we didn't make plan. So now I'm going to ding you for every little thing I possibly can.
No.
So we got to get back to old school reviews. Reviews should be mainly a success call for ringing the bell. That's what they should be. You should be highlighting all of the good things that happened and then focusing on what we can do better to make more money the next year. That's the purpose of a review. If you're in a situation where everything is, you know, coming from a dark hallway, that person shouldn't be on your team.
Right.
That's it.
Review should not be a surprise. Everybody should know what they're expecting.
What they getting, player?
Right on, my dude. Hold on.
Hold up.
Dang. Let's see. How about... Oh, yeah. Okay. You go down to the Cold Stone shop with the kid and the lady.
Mm-hmm.
And you all order an ice cream. You getting your ice cream in a cone or a cup?
I'm a cup dude, man. Just because back in the day, I hated the ice cream dripping on the hand.
Yeah.
It's like dripping on the hand, but you know what was interesting? We were somewhere not that long ago, and when I grew up, we used to have the little, it was like the Tasty Freeze that would come around. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was a real ice cream truck because they had soft serve on there.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, I think it was Mr. Tasty Freeze.
Mr. Tasty Freeze.
But they'd come around, bro, and my man would get the cone, vanilla, and then like dip it into the cherry that would then harden.
Yeah.
That, bro, I would get one of those in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm a cup dude. I think the last time we went somewhere, we went to one of those Kilwins. They got like the fudge and all of that stuff in there. Maybe you don't have that West Coast.
I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
you never heard of a Kilwins, bro?
Kilwins, no.
Okay.
But you better take me.
Yeah, I will. But yeah, I went there and I got like the, what was it? The toasted almond and coconut.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
In a cup. What about you, sir?
I'm the same way. Now, I did kind of mix it up there. Cold Stone has the cup where you can put the waffle cone in
waffle
there.
Cone in
so then
bowl,
you get
yeah.
kind of the best of both worlds. I want my ice cream with a spoon because I got a beard and a mustache and that will be all over my face.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
I'm constantly telling you, hey, bro, you got some wing sauce in your beard. No, I'm not constantly. Hey, bro, you got half a wing in your beard, man.
Little Dijon mustard everywhere.
Little Dijon. Well, as always, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate our fan base. Pass this along. Keep listening. And we'll keep coming back to you with more great content. Appreciate you, my brother.
Appreciate you, my dude.
Peace.